Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Larry Batson's Wild World. My name is Eric Altman, filling in for Larry Batson tonight, who is off this evening, but he will be back again next week. He has some school lectures he's going to be taking care of tomorrow and presentations, so he won't be with us tonight, but I'm here filling in for Larry this evening, and we invite you to call in tonight. Tonight's going to be an open mic night, and the phone lines are open at 347-855-8123. Again, 347-855-8123. Feel free to call us tonight here on the show. We'll be happy to talk about anything that's on your mind. Being that we don't have Larry with us tonight, and it's just me here on the program filling in for Larry, we're going to probably talk about one of the subjects that's near and dear to my heart, and that, of course, being Bigfoot. And being the director of the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society, I wanted to talk a little bit about Bigfoot in Pennsylvania and some of the unusual happenings and strange occurrences that go on here in the Keystone State that have gone on in Pennsylvania for the last, 50, 100, 200 years. But if you want to chime in on your thoughts about Bigfoot here in Pennsylvania or Bigfoot or any subject at all, you got the phone number there. It's real easy to call in, 347-855-8123. And before we get into tonight's subject, let's talk a little bit about Larry's website. It's called www.larrytheanimalguy.com. It's Batson Wildlife Educational Services, home of Larry the Animal Guy, and it's got some great information on that website for you to check out. It's all about the wildlife educational services, the schools that he speaks at, some of the animals that he's rescued over the years, pictures, videos, appearances. It's got his wife Cheryl's and Larry's blog on there, sponsors, a store where you can go check out some cool stuff on there. They have some really cool T-shirts, books, you name it, it's there. He's got Larry Batson's audio journals on there. He's got the DVD lecture that took place, I think it was a couple months ago over in West Virginia. That's a pretty neat buy there. He's got some stuff, some books and a whole bunch of really cool stuff on the website, so make sure you check that out. It's www.larrytheanimalguy.com. Couple things going on in the Bigfoot community, just to quickly talk about. We want to send out congratulations to Craig Woolheater, Monica Rollins, and all the folks down at the Texas Bigfoot Research Conservancy who held their eighth, or I guess you call it ninth, annual Texas Bigfoot Conference this past Saturday, September the 26th, I believe it was, down in Tyler, Texas. And they had a heck of a lineup of speakers, an excellent turnout. Over 500 people showed up for the event, and they're getting some rave reviews from all those who attended. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it, but I hear some great things have come out of Tyler, Texas, some great presentations. Lauren Coleman did a fantastic job from what I'm hearing. Esteban Sarmiento, Dr. Jeff Meldrum, Bindernagel, that's it. Dr. John Bindernagel was there. Dr. John Myanzinski was there. Peter Matheson was there. They had a lot of great speakers that did a great job. So congratulations go out to those guys down there in Texas at the Texas Bigfoot Research Conservancy. It's texasbigfoot.org. They've got a great organization, and they put on a great event every year. So congratulations, Craig and the gang down in Texas. This coming weekend, we move just a little bit to the north, up to Oklahoma. The Hanobia Bigfoot Conference is going on in Hanobia, Oklahoma this weekend, coming up October 2nd and 3rd. And they've got a great speaker lineup as well. Dr. Jeff Meldrum is there. He wasn't in Tyler, Texas, but he's going to be in Hanobia this weekend, along with Tom Powell. He's the author of the book, The Locals. And excellent Bigfoot researcher. I've had the opportunity to meet Tom on several occasions. R. Scott Nelson, who is a retired U.S. Navy cryptolinguist, And he's going to be talking about some research that he's done on the Sierra Sounds tape and trying to decipher them and, you know, kind of make them into making sense to all of us. You know, he believes there's some kind of language going on there. So he'll be doing a presentation on that. So that should be kind of cool. Let's see, who else is speaking down there this weekend? We've got David Pilates and Harvey Pratt. Those folks have put out some great books. The latest called Tribal Bigfoot, which is available right now online on Amazon.com and through Hancock House. A good friend of mine, Mike Hall. Mike is going to be speaking, and I want to send a speedy recovery out to Mike. He had a heart procedure done just recently, and he's recovering. So we send our best wishes out to Mike and hope for a speedy recovery. Cullen Hudson, Scott Charlson, and Chris Foreman are going to be wrapping up the lineup of speakers at the Hanobia Bigfoot Conference down there in Hanobia, Oklahoma. For more information, you can go to BigfootMountain.com. You can go to mid-americanbigfoot.com, or you can go to texlaresearch.com and find out all about the event. They've got, like I said, a great lineup of speakers going to be there. They've got all kinds of stuff going on there, arts and crafts vendors. They've got live music and entertainment. It's going to be fun for the whole family, so make sure you get down to Hanobia if you're going to be in that area and check out the Hanobia Bigfoot Conference coming this Friday and Saturday to Hanobia, Oklahoma. All right, folks, moving right along. Like I said, tonight's an open mic night, so if you have anything on your mind tonight you'd like to call in, the number is real easy to call in. It's 347-855-8123. My name's Eric Altman, filling in for Larry Batson tonight. Unfortunately, Larry won't be able to make the show, but I'll be on the program, so, you know, hey, if you got something on your mind, something you want to talk about, feel free to call in. But in the meantime, we're going to talk a little bit about Bigfoot in Pennsylvania, what's going on this year in the Keystone State. And folks have probably heard by now, it's been quite busy here in Pennsylvania this past year with sightings and investigations and follow-ups that we've done. So we're going to start things off. Things were kind of slow the beginning of this year. We had a couple of reports sent into the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society, which I'm the director of, and one in particular was called in to me back in the beginning of May, and a gentleman up in Perry County was driving along a back mountain road and happened to witness what he first thought was a person in a costume walking across the road in front of his car, kind of lumbering along, didn't really pay much attention. Animal itself walked over to the edge of the road and turned and squatted down and proceeded to sit there right by the tree line. So the man who had the sighting stopped and got out of his car and began to talk to this thing. And interestingly enough, this thing began to growl back at him, and it frightened the guy pretty much, and he had enough and called it a night and headed on his way. Called me that night pretty shaken up about 11 o'clock, and from there I turned it over to one of our investigators who lives in that area, got a hold of the witness, went out, investigated, met with the witness, and felt the witness was telling the truth. He believed that the witness did see what he claimed to have seen, and he did find some unusual impressions on the side of the road, but no definitive evidence, of course. So interesting report to kick off the spring of 2009. But from there, it got kind of crazy. We started getting reports coming in from all over the state. Luzerne County, we got some reports up that way. We got some reports in from Clearfield County, a couple interesting ones that I actually participated in, and we'll talk a little bit about that. One of the first reports we got from Clearfield County came from a young man around the 4th of July. He was walking home on a dark country road, and it's pretty rural where he was walking from a friend's house, and walking actually towards town, he began to hear some rustling in the brush behind him, and turned around to look, and this large animal, upright on two legs, came walking out of the brush on his, as he was turning around, it would be his left side, and stopped in the middle of the roadway And the witness and the creature kind of shared stares at each other, exchanged staring for a few minutes. And then the creature continued on its way, walked across the remainder of the road and up an embankment into the tree line on the opposite side of the road and disappeared. Now, this guy is in his late teens, early 20s, but I'd say about 18, 19 years old. And it shook him up pretty good, but in the same sense, he wanted to find out exactly what he saw. He wasn't 100% certain what he'd seen. So he contacted our group, and of course, I got a hold of one of our assistant directors, Dave Rupert, out of the central Pennsylvania area. Dave got in touch with a witness, and Dave and Joyce Long and a few others took a trip up to the area to meet with the witness and kind of feel him out. Meet with him face to face, find out if in fact he did see what he claimed, and they felt he was telling the truth. He didn't seem like he was trying to make anything up or embellish anything. His story hadn't changed from what he filed in his report, and it was a pretty interesting encounter that he had. And I guess it was probably in early August I had the opportunity to go up with Dave and check out the area. It was, like I said, it was a pretty rural road. Wasn't much really to it, I guess you'd say. It was kind of about a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles from the nearest house. And there was a strip mine nearby. Trying to think what else was in the area. And that's about it. There was a pretty brushy hillside with some trees, and on the other side, a pretty steep ravine. We did find something pretty interesting, and I don't think it has any Bigfoot relevance, but there was something dumped on the side of the roadway, which was pretty interesting. It turned out to be fish heads and parts of fish. It looked like somebody had either dumped trout or bass on the side of the road, and there were a lot of scales, fish bones, and fish head, but no signs of any creature in the area that we could find. We took some measurements of the tree that the creature walked out next to onto the roadway, and from where the witness explained where he saw the head of the creature, it measured about 7.5 foot tall, and the witness described the creature as being covered in hair, what he could see of it from head to toe. He couldn't really see a face very well because it was dark, but he could see that the figure, a very massive, bulky figure, very tall, and like I said, covered with hair. And the two exchanged glances. The creature walked across the road and disappeared. Unfortunately, me getting to the site as late as I did, we didn't find any evidence when I was there, and nor did Dave and Joyce and the crew when they went out to investigate the witness. But a pretty intriguing case. From there, we learned of another case that took place about 15 miles to the north, a little community outside of Du Bois, where a woman claimed that she had something strange going on around her property. And what she had claimed was she would go out in the morning, sit on her front porch early in the morning, around 6 a.m., and there would be strange feelings like something was watching her from the woods across the street. Now, this little community that she is lives on the outskirts of is pretty rural. It's not a big community. It's a small community, and the closest town is Du Bois, which is probably about 10, 12 miles away. And lots of woods, lots of big woods, plenty of water sources, streams, creeks, lakes. There's a Boy Scout camp near her where she lives, probably about a mile or two down the road. But she always had these strange feelings that there was something in the woods across from her house watching her, and it freaked her out. One occasion she told Dave Rupert, one of our assistant directors for the PBS, she told him that while she let out her dogs one night, and they're pretty aggressive, non-friendly dogs, they for some reason they wanted back in the house. very, very badly. They were afraid, and they displayed behavior which was not typical of them. So she let them in the house, and they refused to go back outside that night she let them out. But the most intriguing thing that she experienced came towards the end of July, when she was standing on the back patio of her house. This is a second story patio of her house. And she was looking back into the wooded area behind her house, and she saw what she thought was a bear standing on two legs watching her from about 7,500 yards back into the woods. And she could see this thing was pretty tall, and like I said, it was watching her, and she was watching it, and then she finally got creeped out, went back in the house. When she told Dave her story, Dave found it pretty interesting, you know, with the little side anecdotes of the creepiness outside, being watched feeling, and the dog's behavior, and then to top it off with this large upright bear watching her from the tree line. Well, after our investigation in Clearfield in Pennsylvania, we decided to go up to this little community outside of Dubois, Pennsylvania, and check it out. And we walked around the property. We were shown where she had sighted this, what she thought was a bear, watching her, and we took a measurement based on where she said the head had almost touched the lowest branch, and that measured almost 7.5 to 8 foot in height. And that was amazing, because I don't know of any black bear in Pennsylvania that can get almost 8 foot tall when standing on its hind legs. Five and a half, maybe 6 foot at most, but not 8 foot. So we have a feeling that what she saw wasn't a bear, but in fact a Bigfoot. Can we be certain of that? No, but pretty good impression based on what she described to us that she didn't see a bear. She actually saw and witnessed a Bigfoot. Those were the only real experiences she had on her property, and we can't, without proof or, you know, conclusive evidence, we can't really say that she did see a Bigfoot, but the circumstantial evidence points in that direction. July, like I said, was a pretty busy month for sightings in Pennsylvania, and as things rolled on through the month, we received a report from Billy Willard and his group, Sasquatch Watch of Virginia. Billy contacted me on July the 10th and asked me if I'd be interested in following up on a sighting report that took place in Fayette County. Fayette County, in reference to the state, is located in the southwestern portion of the state. Fayette County has a long history of sighting reports. It's towards the southern end of the Chestnut Ridge. And for those that don't know what the Chestnut Ridge is, it's the western ridge of the Allegheny Mountains that run through central and western Pennsylvania. It's probably about 100 miles long. And it runs from Indiana County all the way down into Preston, West Virginia. So it's a pretty long mountain ridge. It's several miles wide, and then the next ridge over is the Laurel Highlands, Laurel Ridge, and so forth into the Allegheny Mountains. Well, the Chestnut Ridge itself has had a wide history of sighting reports dating back to the first documented report in the early 1920s, an Indian head, which incidentally was in Fayette County. The report that Billy sent was that a woman was driving on the outskirts of Uniontown, Pennsylvania, on her way home very early in the evening. It was about 6 p.m., and she claimed that a creature ran across the roadway in front of her car. And that was pretty intriguing, because I know the history of reports in Fayette County, and being that I am a member of Sasquatch Watch of Virginia, I told Billy that I'd be more than happy to follow up on this report, and this sighting location is only about 30 miles as the crow flies from where I live. So I called the witness and made arrangements to meet with her, and accompanying me on the investigation was world-renowned, or I should say pretty famous, Bigfoot UFO researcher Stan Gordon. He's been investigating reports dating back for almost 50 years now, back into the 1960s, and two members of the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society, Dave and Cindy Dragazin. And Dave and Cindy are former residents of Fayette County. They're very familiar with it, so I figured they'd be an asset to come along with me on the investigation. Well, we met the witness and her husband. They both showed up at the location where she had her sighting. And I got to be honest with you, folks, I was very stunned to see just how populated this area was where she had her sighting. It is, in fact, just on the outskirts of Uniontown, heading north. A lot of homes, a lot of houses. There's businesses right along the main road there that she had the encounter. And what she described to us was heading north out of Uniontown on this road, and just, like I said, traveling through the neighborhood there, this person that she thought was a person came off of an embankment on the left. It was actually a schoolyard, had a retaining wall, and it jumped off the retaining wall and ran out into the roadway. And she thought for sure she was going to hit this person. And she began to brake, and looking out her driver's side window and the front window, she could see it wasn't a person. She thought maybe it was someone in a costume, because it ran just like a person would run. She slammed her brakes on, pulled over to the curb to avoid from hitting it, and that's when she got a really good look at its face. And she described the face as having a very wild-eyed look on the face. It was covered in hair, head to toe, with the exception of a white patch of open skin around the eyes, a very large, flat nose, and very dark, deep-set eyes. She didn't know what to make of this, and she knew she wasn't seeing things. This occurred at about 6 p.m., on July the 10th, and it was there coming across the road. She slammed her brakes on, pulled over to the curb, and when she looked up again, she looked up in her rearview mirror and saw this creature literally hurtle over the trunk of her car. She watched it in her rearview mirror, and she kind of was just stunned to see this happen. And when she looked up again, the creature was running down a roadway to her right that intersected at the traffic light just a few hundred feet in front of her. It was running right down the main roadway to her right in front of all these homes. And finally, it disappeared from sight, and that was the end of it. She was pretty shaken up, went home, told her husband about it, and her husband was pretty much, I wouldn't say disbelieving her, but was pretty much uncertain of what she'd seen. He believed her, but wasn't real sure of what she'd seen, because she wasn't sure of what she saw. When she spoke with me on the phone, she never described it as a Bigfoot. She described it as a werewolf. And she said it had wild hair and a very wild-eyed look in its face. Like it wasn't scared, but just kind of a wild animal look and very deep, dark-set eyes. She kept remarking about that. Well, long and short of it, we had met with her, we interviewed her, we felt her to be very credible due to her body language, her vocal discussion of the creature. You could tell she was shaken up, the trembling in her voice, her mannerisms. She recounted everything that she told me on the phone verbatim, so we were pretty convinced that she was a very credible witness. Her husband and I spent a good half an hour searching the wooded area behind the school where she felt the creature came from, and she saw it come from the left. We didn't find anything there, of course. It's not a very big patch of woods, but it does run into an abandoned cemetery with a lot of game trails and a lot of hiking trails that could go off on the power lines and other wooded areas. So it's possible this thing could have been moving through. As it ran off to its right, we decided to drive off in that direction to see where that would take us. And sure enough, within probably about 3 or 4 miles is the Chestnut Ridge. And as I explained, the Chestnut Ridge is probably 100 miles long and several miles wide. The area closest to where she had her sighting is a little community known as Jamonville. And Jamonville will come into play here in just a little bit. But it was an interesting sighting. We were very surprised that no one else had reported anything in the area, because it's such a populated area. And while we were there that evening doing the investigation, there were a lot of people out. A lot of people out in the front porches, in their yards, driving cars, parked in the business at the corner of the traffic light where the creature had run down the street. Just a lot of people out there. And we were just very surprised that no one else had reported it. Well, Stan had sent the article to Lauren Coleman and Cryptomundo, along with several other websites, and it did get posted on Cryptomundo. And if you head to that website, cryptomundo.com, and type in the search engine for Fayette County Bigfoot, you can read all about the report and see some of the pictures. And there's even a sketch on there of what the witness saw. It's a pretty intriguing report. But it doesn't end there. Her encounter ended there, of course, but that's not where the sightings stopped. Towards the beginning to middle of August, the Herald Standard newspaper from Uniontown printed the story that Stan had wrote up about the report. And they interviewed me, they interviewed Stan, and they released the newspaper article about the report. And from there, that inspired six sighting reports out of Fayette County between the time that she had her sighting on July 10th as most recently as September the 23rd, this past Thursday. Not yesterday, but a week ago from today. And we've gotten six reports out of Fayette County, all within a 15-mile radius of Uniontown. Two of them came from Jamonville, which incidentally was the direction the creature was running off from the July 10th sighting. It headed in that general direction. We had several reports come out of the Dunbar area, which is a very mountainous area to the north of Uniontown, between Connellsville and Uniontown. We had a sighting come in from Confluence, which is to the south near Ohio Pyle State Park in Fayette County, almost to the Somerset County line in southwestern Pennsylvania. And the most recent was, again, outside of Dunbar, Pennsylvania. These sightings have been pretty intriguing, and one of them actually yielded a possible footprint that we casted, and I'll get into that one in just a few minutes. But the reports that started coming in were hot and heavy. I got probably three phone calls right after the newspaper article came out, one from a woman who claimed she had seen two creatures, a large one standing almost 10 foot tall and a small one about 3 foot tall. And we'll get into that report here after the break. And she also, we got another report from a woman claiming that she swerved around a creature walking down the middle of Jamonville Road in Jamonville about 2 a.m. At the beginning of August. And Stan Gordon had received a report from a young man who claimed that a creature was chasing him or following him very closely as he rode his ATV through a forested area near Dunbar, Pennsylvania. So some pretty exciting stuff going on here in Pennsylvania. And we're going to take a quick break. When I do come back from the break, we're going to tell you about these Fayette County reports and what's been going on with those and what some of the activity has yielded as far as evidence and photographs and stuff like that. So we're going to take a quick time out. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Eric Altman, filling in for Larry Batson tonight, who has the night off. He'll be back again next Thursday night here at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. So we invite you to stick around, folks. More Bigfoot talk when we come back. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 347-855-8123. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
There are some visitors you'd just rather not see. Like your obnoxious brother-in-law, Louie.
Hey, everybody, we're here. It's good to see you. When do we eat?
But then there are some visitors you just can't get enough of. To make your farm or ranch a more attractive place for the visitors you actually want to see, contact your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office. They can help you build the habitat wildlife loves. But as for Louie, try disconnecting the doorbell. This message brought to you by USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service and this radio station.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wild.
Take me fishing and show me how to drive the boat.
Take me fishing, so I can tell you what a great dad you've been.
Take someone you love out on the water and see where the water takes you.
Take me fishing because I miss my boy.
Rediscover the joy of boating and fishing. Get information and get going at takemefishing.org.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
And welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Eric Altman, filling in for Larry Batson. Tonight, Larry will be back next Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. Tonight we're talking about Bigfoot in Pennsylvania and the recent rash of sightings that going on here in the Keystone State. I am the director of the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society, so I figured I'd fill listeners in on what's going on here in Pennsylvania with all the recent sightings and activity. It's been quite busy. And before we went to the break, we were talking about some activity going on here in Fayette County. Interesting stuff going on, very, very interesting stuff. But we were talking about a woman who had claimed that she had a sighting north of Uniontown, just on the way out of Uniontown, of a creature that ran across the roadway. She almost hit it, stopped her car to prevent herself from hitting it, and it leapt over the trunk of her car and continued running down a side road, a neighborhood, basically, with a lot of houses, a very populated neighborhood, and disappearing from sight. A newspaper article was released about her sighting a couple of weeks later, and that spawned a rash of sightings in Fayette County. The first to be reported to me took place in late July outside of Dunbar, Pennsylvania. Dunbar is in Fayette County, of course, and it's just to the north of Uniontown, between Uniontown and Connellsville in southwestern Pennsylvania. And the story with that was this elderly woman. She has a piece of property that she owns, or it has a foundation on it, and she goes to the property almost on a daily basis. She has several neighborhood, I guess, call them feral cats that she likes to feed and puts out water for them and for the deer. And it was about 8 o'clock in the morning on, I believe it was July 21st, 22nd, something to that effect. And she pulled in, had her twin sister in the car with her. They parked their cars, and they parked the car. She got out and she proceeded to walk down the little driveway slash yard trail that led into the property. And she's walking along. There's some pretty high brush along her right-hand side. I'd say it's about 7-8 foot in height. So it really blocks your view of the yard that opens up there. And as she walked into the yard and turned the corner, she saw these two animals. And she thought at first they were deer because they were standing up against this brush, and one was kind of crouched over. And her first reaction was seeing the smaller of the two creatures. And it was crouched over, and it was eating blackberries. It was pulling blackberries off the bush and putting it in its mouth. And she stopped, and the woman stopped and looked at these things. She was about 30 feet away from these creatures. And the smaller one turned and looked right at her and it kind of had a stunned expression on its face and then took off to her right. And the area to her right was pretty not heavily brushed, but there had some briars and some small trees, and took off in that direction. The big one to its left turned and started walking away very quickly from her and entered into a very, very thick briar brush patch. And the briar brush patch was about 5.5 feet in height and very, very thick and hard to maneuver through. It got about 10 to 15 feet into the brush, stopped, turned around and looked right at her. She got a real good look at its face. Now, again, this woman never called these things Bigfoot or Sasquatch. She called them primates. She said they looked like giant people covered with hair, primate-like people. And the big one turned and looked at her. She referenced a pink flower about, we measured it, it was about 10 feet off the ground. She said the head of this creature came to just the tip of the flower. Now, it stopped and looked at her, turned, and continued on walking into the brush and disappeared from sight. And it didn't scare her. She wasn't scared of it, but she was more like kind of stunned and intrigued about what she saw. She walked back to the car, got in the car with her twin sister sitting in the car, and said, "You'll never believe what I just saw." And she told her what she saw, and they went back, and of course, the creatures were gone. Now, she didn't want to tell anybody. She was afraid people were going to think she was crazy. So she kept her mouth shut until she saw the article released in the Herald Standard Uniontown, Pennsylvania newspaper. So when she saw the article, she decided to give us a call. And she called me on my cell phone and left her name and phone number and asked us to call her back. So that afternoon we called her. And my assistant director, Dave Dragazin, called her up and asked her if we could come down and meet with her at the area. She agreed. And a couple of days later, we took a drive down to the little rural area outside of Dunbar, PA. And she showed us the area where she had her encounter. We measured the distance between her and where the small creature stood, and it was 30 feet. We checked the area for hair, footprints, impressions in the ground. Being that this was several weeks old, we didn't find anything, and it rained several times between that period. We did find an area where something possibly could have walked through, the smaller creature could have walked through a couple broken branches, but nothing definitive. I proceeded into the brush where the larger creature walked, and it took me about 15 minutes to move 10 feet through this thick, thick briars, and I got ripped up pretty good getting back in there. I had snake gaiters on, and it was just very, very hard to maneuver through this stuff. I got back to where she said the creature had stopped and turned and looked at her, and as she was standing looking at me, looking back at her, she remarked how much taller the creature was. And I measured from the bottom of the pink flower that she had told us about, where the creature's head had just came to the bottom of, measured 10 feet tall. So this is a pretty big animal that walked away and turned and looked at her. From talking to this woman, we really felt that she had no reason to make this stuff up. She seemed very sincere in her story, and she doesn't want any publicity, doesn't let anybody know about it. So, of course, we respect that, and we keep it quiet. Now, she has offered us the opportunity to put a game camera on her property, and we probably will be doing that here very shortly. But in the meantime, we've been continuing to follow up on these reports. The next report we got came from a woman, and it was on the same day as I received the call from the elderly woman who had the encounter with the two creatures. Later that day, I received a phone call from a frantic woman who was pretty upset, sharing her experience about what she had seen up on the Javonville area of the Chestnut Ridge in Fayette County, which is a crow flies. It's about 5 miles from where the woman had her sighting on July 10th and where the woman had her sighting on July 21st. It was about 4 or 5 miles as well to the south of where she had her sighting. What she described to us is she was driving home from her friend's house about 2 o'clock in the morning, and as she was driving along the road, there was a car in front of her that suddenly pulled off into the parking lot of the little mountain restaurant up there, and it stopped. Half of the car was sticking out on the side of on the roadway. It was blocking part of the roadway, and she didn't know what to make of that, so she went around it and continued driving, and she came across this figure that was walking down the middle of the road, and she figured it was a local or somebody drunk or somebody walking down the road. She wasn't sure, but she continued to walk and or continued to drive, and the creature continued to walk, and all of a sudden the headlights hit the creature, and she thought first instinct was this was a person in a bear costume with a Halloween mask on. That's how she described it to us. She got closer and closer to the creature, and it continued to walk. It didn't move to the right or left. It just continued to walk along the roadway there, and all of a sudden, she was almost on top of it. It spun around, bent down, and looked right at her through the windshield, and she got a real good look at its face. She could tell it was not a person in a bear costume wearing a Halloween mask. This was something she had never seen before. Now, what's interesting about this, not only is the sighting that she had, but the fact that this woman comes from the Netherlands. That's where she was born and raised. She moved to Miami, Florida, and she lived in the Florida area for several years and then moved up to Pennsylvania. In the Netherlands, she said, we never heard of Bigfoot or Sasquatch. When I lived in Florida, we never heard of Bigfoot or Sasquatch. I didn't know what I had seen. I saw something that it scared me pretty bad, and when I told my boyfriend, he told me I probably saw a Bigfoot. And that's, I read the newspaper article, and I got your phone number and called you guys. Well, we met with her. She took us to the sighting location, exactly where it happened, showed us where the creature was walking, how she had to swerve around to her left to avoid from hitting it, and then how she quickly took off driving 70 miles an hour down the mountain to get away from it. She's pretty shaken up. It was pretty frightening an event for her and an encounter for her. And she told us that she had nightmares for several nights after the sighting, and she still has them occasionally. She also talked about the creature that she saw and described it. And Dave Dragason, who's with me, along with his wife Cindy, Dave is a pretty good artist, and he sketched, based on the witness's description, what she saw. Pretty intriguing. First case I'm aware of a creature spinning around like it did, bending down and looking in her windshield the way that she described it. Interesting, but again, no evidence was found, nothing conclusive. We can only take the word of the witness. We felt that she was telling the truth, so another credible sighting. It was probably September the 15th. My wife and I were at Kennywood Park in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's an amusement park. And I got a phone call from a gentleman who is a Florida resident, and he proceeded to tell me that while he was visiting Pennsylvania at the beginning of August, the beginning of September, he had a sighting of something up on the Jamonville summit, up on the Chestnut Ridge, with only maybe a couple of miles of where this woman had her sighting. And the two people don't know each other, incidentally. But he described it was a daylight sighting in the afternoon, and he was driving down Jamonville Road at the Jamonville summit, and all of a sudden this animal loped across the road in front of his car. He slowed down, and he thought it was possibly an orangutan or a chimpanzee, the way it ran across the road. He said it was black and shiny in color, and he was almost 100% certain it was not a bear. Now, unfortunately, being that he was back in Florida, he couldn't give me the exact location, but he did describe where the encounter took place at, where the sighting took place at, and I took a look around the area, didn't find any definitive evidence, but took some photographs, looked around the area. So here we are with three sightings going on in the Fayette County area since the July 10th sighting. This makes a total of four so far. getting back to the day, I had three phone calls from the witnesses in Fayette County. I had received a phone call from a woman who had reiterated a story to me about her two sons having a sighting near Confluence or near Ohio Pile in southwestern Pennsylvania, Fayette County. And theirs was a pretty interesting report, but not really an uncommon report. They were back hiking in the wooded area behind their home looking for an area to hunt for archery season, which incidentally, archery season starts tomorrow here in Pennsylvania. And as they were walking around looking for areas to put up blinds or set up tree stands, they saw what they thought was a bear standing up against a tree. And they didn't want to get too close to it because they were afraid it might charge them. Or they thought maybe it was rubbing its back against the tree the way it was kind of just leaning there. And all of a sudden, this thing turned and started walking away on two legs. And it turned back and looked at him and just walked away from sight. And they described this thing as being massive in size, tall, broad-shouldered, covered in hair head to toe. And to them, it resembled very closely like Chewbacca from the Star Wars movies. That was the best description they could give. Unfortunately, I have not had the chance to meet with a woman from Confluence yet, but I do plan on doing that here very shortly. So we're up to five reports now out of Fayette County from July 10th up into the end of August, beginning of September. The most recent one that we received in Fayette County occurred on September 23rd, this past Thursday. I'm just about ready to do the start of Larry's show last week, the debut show here on Blog Talk Radio, and talking with Larry on the phone, and I get a phone call from Stan Gordon, Pennsylvania UFO Bigfoot researcher, and he tells me of a sighting that occurred earlier that afternoon around 5 p.m. Near the town of Dunbar, Pennsylvania, on a back mountain road near, in some state game lands. And a woman and her daughter had decided to go for a drive that late afternoon. It was around 5 p.m. And they were driving on this dirt road, and they came across a gas well. And when they came across the gas well, the view you can see for miles, literally about 8 or 9 miles. And in the distance, you can see some very large windmills. They're electrical windmills. They get electricity from. And they stopped, and they took a good look, and they were enjoying the view, and they decided to move on, which they did. And eventually got to the point where they could turn around and come back. And on their way back, they stopped at the gas well, or the gas line again. And they were taking in the view. They looked to the right, and to the right is a hillside that goes upwards, and you really can't see much. It just goes up to the top of the hill, and that's pretty much as far as you can see. But to the left, it goes down a pretty good angle and flattens out for a while, and then it drops down to a ravine, and you can see off in the distance for a good 7-8 miles. As they're sitting there with the windows open, looking to the left and admiring the view and admiring the nice warm evening, they hear brush rustling and something coming through the trees at the bottom of the gas well line about 100, 150 feet from their car. And expecting to see a deer or bear, which are very common in Fayette County in those woods up on the Chestnut Ridge, a deer or bear didn't come out of the tree line. A large, upright, walking, hair-covered creature came out of the tree line. And this thing walked across the gas line, never looked at them. All they saw was the side profile of it. It just continued to walk, walked across the gas well line and entered the tree line on the opposite side and disappeared from sight. They were just stunned at what they saw. They've never seen anything like it before. Never had an inkling or interest in Bigfoot. They thought, you know, it's possible, it exists, maybe it doesn't. But they were stunned. So they drove home, and the woman told her boyfriend, and the daughter that was with them told the woman's boyfriend, and they shared their experience. And because of being familiar with Stan Gordon and his reputation for being a UFO Bigfoot researcher for the past 50 years in Pennsylvania, they called Stan and told Stan about the report, or what they had seen, and Stan called me about 9 o'clock on Thursday evening. And About 10, 15 minutes later, the witness called me. I spoke with her for about half an hour, 45 minutes. I got a lot of great information from her. Basically, what she told me, she said it was a big ape-like person, tall, massive, dark brown in color. Its arms hung down at its sides, but they were out a little bit, almost like a bodybuilder would have. The huge biceps causing its arms to hang out a little bit. And it continued to walk into the tree line and disappeared. I found her report very intriguing. You could tell she was upset by the tone of her voice, the way she described what she had experienced. But she wanted to find out what she did experience. So she agreed to meet with myself, and I was able to get a hold of Dave Dragonson and his wife Cindy, who are from that area. They had family that lived in Dunbar. So the three of us went down, met the witness, her daughter, and the witness's boyfriend. They took us to the sighting location. We spent a good 2.5-3 hours hiking around the area. We didn't find any conclusive evidence, but we did find a very interesting large human-shaped impression in the ground. It measured 18 inches long by about 8 inches wide and 1.5 inches deep. It was the only one like it in the whole area. Just for possibility's sake, we cast the impression, and it does resemble the shape of a foot, although there is no toes apparent in the cast. There's no definition in the track. It was an older track, it looked like, but it had leaf matter in it and some branches that were broken off, whatever stepped on it or left the impression there. It was pretty heavy because there were some broken branches in the impression. And we did search the area. We found nothing else really definitive that day. We made the cast. Because the cast was still wet, we agreed to come back on Sunday to pick it up, which we did. Searching the area more on Sunday, we did find an area of trampled down grass. It was about 35 foot long, or 35 foot area, square area, I should say, that had been trampled down by something walking around. And right there at the edge of the tree line on the left was a very large berry patch, little blackberries. And we did see where something had picked some of the blackberries up higher off of the berry patch, probably about 6-7 feet off the ground. But the lower ones, 3 or 4 foot off the ground, weren't touched. So we're not sure if a bear got up and did that, or a deer did that, or what caused those berries to be picked off those higher up patches of berries, but very intriguing nonetheless. We felt the witness was very credible, very honest, telling the truth. And her daughter would refuse to get out of the car. We went back to the location. We're going to be monitoring that location, and the others, we've had the sighting reports, and we're going to continue to check those out for further activity. One interesting side note that occurred is on Saturday, September 24th, the witness, her daughter, and the witness's boyfriend went back to that location to do some walking around and looking for any signs of tracks or any large animal moving through the area. And they found the remains of a dead pig that had been partially decayed and partially eaten. It was laying on a different dirt road, not far from where they had their sighting, probably about 400 or 500 yards away in a different dirt road. They found this dead pig, and they took pictures of it. We went back on Sunday, and they wanted to show us this dead pig that they had found. We went back to that location. The entire pig was gone. Have no rhyme nor reason or explanation of what took the pig away. The only thing that was left were a few small bones, and that was it. There was no signs of the pig even being there other than the bones. So something walked off of the pig. Pretty interesting. But again, can't conclusively say it was a Bigfoot, but something had a good meal that night. So those are just a few of the sighting reports that we've gotten here in Pennsylvania this past year. It's been quite active. Some of the more recent ones we've gotten. I think we've gotten about 30 reports in total this year from Pennsylvania, and we've investigated about 18 or 19 of them so far, maybe 20 of them. 10 of them we haven't had the witness contact us back when we've made attempts or have been given bad contact information. So 27 to 30 reports so far this year in PA. It's been quite an active year and pretty exciting. And you know, we're going to be getting up more information on the Pennsylvania Bigfoot website. It's www.pabigfootsociety.com, or you can go to MySpace page. If you go to Facebook and type in Eric Altman or It's facebook.com/Eric.Altman1970. You can go to my photo section and see some of the pictures of some of the investigations that we've conducted here in Pennsylvania, if you want to check that out. Got about 5 minutes left in the program tonight. We've been talking about Bigfoot, a little bit about Bigfoot here in Pennsylvania, sharing some of the sighting reports that we've received here this past year. Throw a couple things out for you for anybody that is interested in Bigfoot. The Hanobia Bigfoot Conference is coming this weekend to Hanobia, Oklahoma. For more information, go to BigfootMountain.com or TexLAResearch.com. Our good friend Mike Hall is one of the chairmen of the conference helping put it on, and it should be a great event. They've got David Politis, Harvey Pratt, Tom Powell, Dr. Jeff Meldrum, among just some of the speakers that are going to be there for the event. It's October 2nd and 3rd, should be a great time. Larry Batson is going to be speaking to several schools tomorrow. That's why he's not on the show tonight. I'm filling in for him. He'll be back next Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, and he'll have some more great tales about animal wildlife and things that he's been doing over his past 35 years in the profession. So a lot of great stuff on the way here on Blog Talk Radio on Larry Batson's Wild World. We've got about 3 minutes left in the show. I want to thank you all for listening tonight. For those who stopped by the chat room, for those who tried to tune in and weren't able to, you can catch the archives, which will be put up on Blog Talk Radio on the website here. The web address is blogtalkradio.com/Larry-Batson, and you can listen to the archived show tonight and catch up on what's going on here in Pennsylvania. And throw a quick plug out for my show. Sean Forker and I host a paranormal talk radio show on the Dark Plains Radio Network, now known as Z-Talk Live Network, and Jackalope 105 FM every Sunday night from 9:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We talk about all things paranormal, from ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and aliens, anything paranormal, psychic phenomenon, unexplained mysteries, strange weather occurrences, cryptids like Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, lake monsters, werewolves, anything that you can think of that's out of the ordinary, we discuss on Beyond the Edge Radio. Check out our website, www.beyondtheedgeradio.com. This week's guests coming up on the program are documentary filmmakers Christopher and Philip Booth, the Booth brothers. Should be a great show. They've made such great documentary movies as The Possessed, their latest, When Ghouls Go Bad, When good Ghouls Go Bad, or I'm sorry, Ghouls Gone Wild, that's it, Ghouls Gone Wild. The Spooked documentary about Waverly Hills with Keith Age, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, John Zaffis in that one. Children of the Grave, which is a great documentary about orphaned spirits or spirits of orphaned children. That also has Rosemary Ellen Guiley, John Zaffis, Keith Age in it. Some great stuff. They will be our special guests this week, Shocktober, on Beyond the Edge Radio. But folks, we're not about Beyond the Edge Radio tonight. We're about Larry Batson's Wild World. We want to thank you for tuning in tonight to the program. Join us again next Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, here on Blog Talk Radio. The website is blogtalkradio.com/Larry-Batson. You can catch the archives of tonight's show if you missed it. And Larry will be back with you next week on the show. Thanks for tuning in. You have yourselves a great night. My name is Eric Altman, filling in for Larry Batson, and you have been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, have a great night, and we'll catch you again next week.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.